That was Tapestries of Sound with Ilunkai. And the singer of Tapestries of Sound is, I hope, on the line, Dr. Mahesh White Radhakrishnan, the 2022 National Folk Fellow. Good morning, Mahesh.
Majinwa and Borada Yama, good morning. How are you?
Hi, it's so lovely to be speaking with you, Mahesh, and some lovely Celtic language there from you. And the last language that I didn't recognise, what was that one?
That was Gamilaroi, actually. That's Yama, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
I think that's a language around, it might be the language around New England as well.
Yeah, it's a little west of us here, but yeah, it's close by for sure. Lovely to be speaking with you. And you've just finished up a very exciting interlude in your life where you've been the National Folk Fellow, the National Folk Fellow, which is an appointment at the National Library of Australia, but actually sponsored by the National Folk Festival. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I wanted to start, Mahesh, by asking you about the earliest musical influences on your life, which I don't think were Celtic.
Well, I was born in Sri Lanka and I was there for 30 days, and my parents are from India and Sri Lanka with a couple of generations on my dad's side from Sri Lanka, and they are probably the earliest, they are definitely the earliest musical influences on my life. Both my parents love singing, and my mother has trained in Indian classical singing, Carnatic singing. And my father is not formally trained, but I think he would have been amazing if he had trained. And I think he really loves music, and he spends a lot of time listening to music and singing. And they used to go to devotional singing sessions. We were part of this interfaith spiritual organization, and a lot of that revolved and centered around devotional singing in this Indian tradition called bhajans. And that was probably the strongest early influence, but then also Carnatic music was always there, I guess, from an early stage, and particularly after we came to Australia, interestingly. That's when I started training in Carnatic singing. So I've learnt from a few teachers. My first teacher was Mrs. Lakshmi Raman, and she taught me, laid the foundations, I guess, going on. And from that, I went on to learn from Dr. M.S. Ramanathan, who took me further, and I'm now learning from someone called Radha Kalyan, who's based in Brisbane. And those have been strong influences throughout. But then later on, as you would know very well, I got into Irish music. And I would say, in terms of how that links to my early influences, I think, you know, I always was really interested in melody and, you know, hearing melody. And I think that's because Indian music is very melodic. And I think that's definitely what drew me to Irish music, is the strong sense of melody there. But then I think rhythm as well, you know, so both melody and rhythm, perhaps more so than harmony, you know, but all of those things are there as well.
Yeah, how fascinating. So Mahesh, how old were you when you arrived in Australia?
I was 5. When I arrived here.
Okay.
So not very old. Yeah.
You started training as a singer very early in life.
That's right. Yeah. I was about 6 when I started training in Carnatic singing. Yes.
How absolutely fascinating. And can you tell me how old you, or, you know, at what point in your life the interest in Celtic and particularly Irish music started?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. I think, you know, probably, I'm trying to remember. So Riverdance was about 97, right? I think, from memory. So I'd say it was a little bit before that, but you know, maybe that's just me wanting to say that. But no, I think I had friends that were, you know, I had a friend in high school that was into folky kind of stuff, and I remember hearing Irish music and liking it. And then I remember the cause came along and really liking that as well. And then a little bit later, I was about maybe in my late teens, and one of the moments, or there were two things that kind of happened around the same time, and one was the musicians that I played with in my rock band at the time, but the circle around us were really into Irish music as well. So there were a couple of people there that were into that, and they knew some tunes as well. And one of them came from an Irish Australian family, and so that was kind of a little bit part of his milieu as well. And then on the other side of that, we used to actually perform quite regularly at the Harp Irish Pub, which was a pub in Tempe. Mm-hmm. And as you'd probably know, there used to be sessions there every week. And one day I was, I'd always hear the sessions and kind of, you know, as I was walking past them, kind of just walk a little slow because I wanted to enjoy the music. And then one day I actually broke a string and I needed to borrow one. And that was kind of like the first sort of contact, I guess, with the players and with Christy over there. And I was like, oh, you know, tell us about this session. And I was welcomed to come and join. And then later I actually had an opportunity to spend some time actually studying the session for an assignment in, would you believe, anthropological linguistics, because I was interested in looking at communication. And, you know, I thought this is a really interesting place in which to look at the way people communicate. And, you know, got to hear the likes of Judy Pinder, who was really lovely to hear, and Colleen Guella before. Mm-hmm. So thank you for playing that. And Judy was the one that said, you know, when I first, actually, that was a very pivotal moment, hearing Judy sing Shan Nos, and just, you know, my jaw sort of dropped. And I went, you know, I thought, well, firstly, you know, you hear the melodies and you kind of like, and the ornaments, and as someone that comes from a Indian music background, there is something resonant there. But I think when one hears Shan Nos, there is something else, because it's not just the ornaments, but it's the way the ornaments are treated vocally, and you know, the slight nasality as well, and the kind of, yeah, the mood that's conveyed through the singing and the song and the music and the gravitas and everything, and all of those things make it very powerful, but also resonant in a way. Like it's not the same or similar, or kind of, you know, there's not relationship with Carnatic music, but there's definitely echoes of qualities and elements that you find in both of those music forms. And it really did something to me. And it was after that I found out from Judy that, you know, I could come and learn Irish at the Gaelic Club. And so began a very long love affair and, journey with the Irish language and with Irish music that has continued, I think, ever since. Yep.
That's fantastic. And you actually ended up spending some time in the Gaeltacht in Ireland, didn't you?
I did. That was wonderful. So I made a couple of trips, and I went firstly in 2006, and I basically got to Dublin and to Ballyclea, and I got on a bus. I went straight to Bassaras, and I caught a bus straight to Galway, to Galway, and then from Galway I wanted to know where I could find music, and people told me, you want to go to a little town called Spittal. So I walked to Spittal and I spent some time there, listened to a bit of music. And when I was on my way to Spittal, I met someone there who I don't remember who they are to this day, but I think they're someone quite well known in Irish music circles. And he said to me, if you want to listen to really good music, you want to go to Inishmore and you want to find this singer called Thrasa Ní Bualán. And so I kept walking from Spittal to Rossaville, and I got on the boat across to Inishmore, and I basically went in search of Thrasa Ní Bualán. I was given an address, and I went there, and I just said, hi, I've come from Australia. I've heard you're an amazing singer, and I'd like to learn. I had Cúpla Focal at that time, you know, just a couple of words of Irish at that time. Mm-hmm. But she was only too kind, you know, too willing to spend time with me, talking to me about Irish music, but also taught me, or taught me a little bits of two songs, and showed them to me, and gave me because she was at the time and has for a long time taught kids in the schools Shano songs. She also had sheets with the words to them as well. So she gave me one of those for both of the songs, and that was my first trip. And then I went back to Inishmore in 2014 and spent a few weeks there, and was able to meet with Thrasa again, and to also interview her and to hear some more songs. So yeah, there's been a couple of trips to Ireland, mostly spent in Inishmore. I think I've spent more time in Inishmore than anywhere else in Ireland. So, yeah.
But what a wonderful place to spend time, Inishmore, in the Aran Islands, of course. Now, Mahesh, before we get on to talking about the National Folk Festival Fellowship, terrible slip of the tongue there, I'm hoping that you might actually sing us a little example of one of the Irish Shannos songs that you've learnt.
Sure. And this is one that you've probably heard me sing before, and it is one of the songs that Thrasa Ní Bualán taught me. And this one's called Donalog, Young Daniel. And so the words are, O young Daniel, before you go across the sea, take me with you, and don't forget. I'll be like a toy brought home from marketplace, a Greek king's daughter beside you in bed. My mother told me not to talk to you, not today, not tomorrow, not on Sunday. But it was too late for warnings, like closing the door after the thief has already left. You took the east from me, you took the west from me, you took before me, you took behind me. You took the moon and the sun away from me, and so great is my fear that you even took God from me. Ah, na lo, marheir har farge, tur me fein la. Aini Jerma Sveagut Feri Laini Shmarga Agusinin rigrei Morcheil Lai ago. Dhutmohrinam Ganla Vartla In Unama Najayadoni is so controlled she roadum she do nando Is the one she do one is the one she Do one is galach is do one is grian is roar matla Gurvanish ji Yeah, so I was actually it's funny you played Triantan earlier as you know the sort of inspirational basis of the of my project was a quote by the late John Dengate that I heard Triantan say at a gig at the Gaelic Club, which was, you know, never waste a good tune on just one song. And I you know, thought about this and then also thought about the way that tunes get used across different modes and different types of musical performance. And one of these sources of musical performance is the music that's used to accompany dancing with Irish language and music, and that's continuing. But I've also been on a little bit of a tangential journey, especially in my research, because in 2017 I got the opportunity to go to Portugal and to accompany a team who were doing a language documentation project in Sri Lanka on a community called the Portuguese Burghers. Now, stay with me here because the Portuguese Burghers dance and their music and dance form is actually a quadrille, as in a square dance. And this is the same in terms of, you know, structure and the formation that you have is the same as the square dancing that you have in Irish set dancing, mm-hmm. in different quadrilles that you have around the world, and that got me thinking. And for one, that, you know, there's something about this dance form that's really interesting, but then I was also noticing that there were elements of the music that were coming in, and Portuguese burger music, of course, is very mixed in its musical influences, and one of the influences of the music was jigs and reels. So that was one thread as well. And so that got me thinking about quadrille tunes. And then it got me to remembering that there is actually another element of quadrille tune influence, the influence of jigs and reels and music that comes out of this milieu of the dance that we know as quadrilles or square dances. And that is in Carnatic music, which is music that I was brought up with. There's actually a very small repertoire of songs by this composer who was actually influenced, you know, that small part of his repertoire was influenced by the music of jigs and reels. And so that got me thinking about the quadrille as a lens through which to look at cultural influence, both of this music coming from Europe, but then I also found elements of stuff going the other way around. And I thought, well, there's something here. I wonder if there's a way in which we can connect the tunes that are played in Australia with the tunes that manifest in South Asian cultures from the part of the world that I'm from, and looking at that through the lens of quadrilles. So my project was called Quadrille Tunes Circling Round. Mm-hmm. And it looked at this circular, the way, you know, tunes circulate around the world through looking at it through a particular frame, as if you will, of quadrille dancing. And I used that as my kind of parameters. Although, as anyone that's familiar with the world of this kind of dancing would know, things start to get a little loose because you've got, you know, there's things that you call quadrilles, but then there's other kinds of square dances that are not strictly called quadrilles, but they are, if you apply the definition of a quadrille as a formation of four couples. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the music that you play for quadrilles, there's no strict rules about what music you can play. You can play jigs and reels, and as, you know, anyone that's familiar with the Irish history and Celtic history would know that, you know, these jigs and reels are much older than the quadrille form itself. So they're not just, you know, they were used to accompany dancing, but they weren't just used to accompany quadrilles. But I used that as a lens through which to look at this circulation, and basically looked up quadrille music in the folklore collection at the National Library. And also looked up some manuscripts as well, and to find these connections. And the result of that was an EP where basically with my band Tapestries of Sound, I performed these new songs that I'd written, as well as some arrangements of existing music, new arrangements of existing music, where teasing out some of these themes and these connections.
How wonderful. And I think we probably need to leave it there, Mahesh, but we're going to, after a quick word from our sponsors, we're going to play Tunes Circling, which is one of the tunes that, or one of the songs that you wrote as a result of the fellowship. So that'll be a great way to finish. Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning. It's been really interesting, and thank you particularly for singing to us, which was completely wonderful. We will play now Tunes Circling by Tapestries of Sound. And thank you very much to Dr. Mahesh White Radhakrishnan, the 2022 National Folk Fellow.